Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today it's all corn.
It is, and we were just talking about corn bisque, and we were talking about all the crazy cool
and building,
garnishes.
Building a menu around that one warm dish.
And I want to, and that's a thing. You know, you can build all kinds of fun things around it. And
that's an easy way to entertain.
It is.
If you have all your cold things, if you make your bisque in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get everything plated up on trays or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
then your soup is hot and
yeah, it's really easy.
This is a great hits the table.
Well, and in the summertime during corn season, this is a great time of the year to entertain and have it be easy because so many things can be cold, and that just makes it fun to entertain. You know, it's not a lot of work. And people can pitch in and help, which I think is awesome. And one of the other things I wanted to mention about that soup, I also like black beans with corn very, very much. So I could definitely see doing a little black bean salsa or even a black bean puree, which you could make very simply by just cooking the black beans. If you eat pork, you could just cook the black beans with a little bit of onion and bacon and chicken stock if you have it. If you don't, just use water. You could put a little cumin or some sort of pepper in there. You could put jalapeno or poblano pepper in there. Oh, that's another thing that's really good with that corn bisque. You could do something with poblano peppers. Actually, we could just talk about poblano peppers and corn right now. I mean, we could make a dish out of roasted poblano peppers stuffed with corn and serve it, and then all you have to do is bring that out of the oven and serve it with maybe
you can just do that in a gratin dish and just go right to the table.
That would be so good. And you can serve that with, you're grilling outside, you're doing some pork chops, you're doing pork tenderloin or a great piece of beef or, it could be a piece of fish. I mean, that would be really, roasted poblano peppers with corn would be great with wild rockfish. That's a fantastic flavor combination. And so I'm going to say it like 1,000 times, but every kind of corn kind of goes with everything.
Well, it's a broad, slightly sweet note. I mean, that's one of the mm-hmm. things. I always feel like Johnny One Note when I recommend wine to go with a dish that's based on corn or a menu that has a lot of corn, because in the same way that corn has one flavor, it's not a very complex flavor, but it's a really happy flavor. Chardonnay, American Chardonnay, that big ripe American Chardonnays do really well with it. And usually the bigger and bolder the dish is and how much more cooked or roasted that corn is, the bigger and oakier you want that Chardonnay to be. And there are lots and lots of like fresh snappy whites that I want to drink all summertime long. But if you give me a menu where it's like fried soft crabs and corn salad or something, then all I want is that great big American Chardonnay.
Anything in particular that you suggest or?
Ooh, well, it's funny. There's
so many choices.
There are a lot of choices, and their style. There are two overwhelming styles that you see. One is in sort of like the luxury Chardonnays, meaning the very pricey stuff that are mailing list wines and that sort of thing. Things that garner tons of points. You find these things that are super alcoholic and very dense, and they're a lot for food. I mean, honestly, they're a lot for food, and I have a hard time having 15.5% alcohol white wine be refreshing.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's just kind of tough. So that stuff is not usually first on my list. There's also stuff that shows up in the 13.5-14 range that is often from warmer climates that ripen really fast in California. And that stuff comes across as pretty darn fruity and almost like it's almost like a zucchini flavor on the finish if you really pay attention
wow.
to them.
Okay.
It's not super attractive to me. I'm maybe fussier than your average Joe on that kind of stuff. There are a few sites, the western part of the Russian River Valley at high altitude in the Santa Cruz Mountains, that you have growers like Tom Dellinger or Jeff Patterson at Mount Eden Vineyards that do big, rich, age-worthy Chardonnays that spend time in oak but are not overwhelmed by the oak. And they usually land somewhere in that like 14 range, but the wines aren't hot and the wines retain reasonable freshness and they age a bit in the cellar, which is interesting. But I find those, they manage to be opulent but refreshing at the same time. And they usually land in that sort of that pineapple-y, peachy range of ripeness and happiness. And
it sounds like summertime.
Yeah, that also sounds like, okay, I would like that with corn.
Right.
You know.
One of my favorite things that you have made is a crab and corn salad with lemon verbena. And I've definitely kind of adapted it over the years. And, oh my gosh,
translation,
I love that so much.
Blown it up and made it again.
So, basically, it's a very tiny bit of finely chopped shallots. Your roasted corn that we already talked about. So roasted corn, cut off the cob beautifully. Definitely don't get any of that cob in there. Lump crab meat. So this is a time for that. So gorgeous, gorgeous lump crab, beautifully picked. Make sure there aren't any shells in there. That's a horrible thing. And, you know, if you can buy lump, it would be the nicest thing to use. So corn, roasted corn, lump crab, a very tiny bit of shallots, a little bit of, I like lime juice, a little bit of mayonnaise, very little bit. And you can either make your own mayonnaise and make it with corn oil and lime and egg, or you can use a prepared mayonnaise. It's not the end of the world. And making a vinaigrette, which is pretty on target with how you made it the first time you made it, with lemon verbena. And lemon verbena I now grow as much as I can. When I see it, I buy it and I plant it.
What has a very particular perfume? It's hard to cultivate.
My goodness. It
has a very particular perfume.
I love it. And my cousin actually up in Pennsylvania has basically a lemon verbena tree. She has got the greatest green thumb. And when I saw that she was actually able, because I had tried to plant it here, and I know we have a hard time buying it locally. Our farmers aren't successful with it for some reason. And when I saw that she was actually, I know she's very good at gardening, but when I saw she was able to do it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to just try. And also one of my favorite chefs in the world, Michel Gauhar, that is sort of his complete signature, is lemon verbena. They have lemon verbena soap in the hotel. I mean, everything is lemon verbena. It's just so, and his hotel is a spa, and it tells you about lemon verbena. It's just, I can't tell you how refreshing it is. If you chop it, you immediately feel better. It's just a beautiful herb.
Yeah, when it's very hot in the south of France, a very typical thing is water with lemon verbena.
Right. I take baths with it. Yeah. I do. I dry it, and I do everything with it. I put it
so
in
that
my...
that salad really kind of got...
Oh, yeah, we're off target
all
now.
The senses
I'm
going,
off target.
Yeah.
Sorry. Back to the salad.
From corn and crab salad to bathing. There we go.
Yep. It's a... Anyway, so but the one thing about lemon verbena is that it has these little weird, I don't know name for it, but these little weird hairs on it. So it's got a strange, you can't just eat lemon verbena. You can put a piece of basil in your mouth and you're okay. This is kind of a strange structure of this plant. So you really have to puree it. That's the best way to use it, or steep it. Like I make lemon verbena sorbet, which is gorgeous. And all I do is bring water with sugar, simple syrup, up to a boil, turn it off. Okay, I digress again, but there's nothing wrong with it because I strongly suggest making the sorbet. I add lime juice to it. I check the sugar content to make the sorbet. And then I just off the heat, steep the lemon verbena in that liquid for maybe 2 minutes, pull the lemon verbena out and cool it down and freeze it. And lemon verbena sorbet with a little lime and sugar is absolutely gorgeous.
So let me recap you on the salad. Okay. So you have the lump crab, mm-hmm. and the sweet roasted corn kernels that you already tossed with a little bit of the finely chopped shallot and mayonnaise, whether you made it or you bought it.
Right.
And just a little bit, just enough to bind it, right?
Right, just a very little bit.
And then the vinaigrette that you make to dress it
is lemon verbena, which this is fresh now. So you just pull the leaves off the stem, wash them in cold water, and then dry them and go into the blender with corn oil. Do not use extra virgin olive oil. It's too strong, overpowering. So corn oil is a nice neutral oil. Puree it, and I would strain it. And it makes just a beautiful oil, and that's what you can, pull around the plate. If you want to mold the salad, you could use a ring mold. It's very simple. Just buy cutters, circle cutters, and mold the salad in the center of the plate. Have a nice pull of the arugula oil of the lemon verbena oil around. And since there's no acid in that oil, you want to make sure that there's enough acid in the salad. because you're not going to get it from your dressing, which is basically...
So hence the citrus and the mayonnaise is a big
deal. Yes, exactly. And salt and pepper and that salad. And that's it. And you could garnish that with, of course, we're starting to get little tomatoes now. So you could garnish it with, I would cut all different, like the little yellow ones, the little red ones, cut them in half, wash them, cut them in half, and lay them around the outside of the dish. That's a great accompaniment to that.
In about a month, you could start the plate with a big fat slice of
That would be so exciting.
You know, of some relatively sharp, good flavored, sort of like one of the big pink guys, watermelon tomato or something. You
right,
know?
Right.
One of those guys, and then unmold the salad right on top of that.
That would be nice to have a good slice of tomato. And if you do that, please salt and pepper that tomato before you put the salad on it. You really do need to season the tomato. Every component of the dish needs to be right in its own right. You know, you don't think, oh, well, if I put a salad on top of this tomato, it's going to be seasoned because of the salad. No, you're diluting the seasoning in the salad by putting it on the tomato that has no seasoning. So always think about every component on the plate needs to be perfect.
So how about let's move to a recipe for a corn dish that's a hot dish, something that you like to do.
I like to make corn spoon bread, and this is really one of my...
That's mentioned in Martha Washington's original Book of Receipts, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, spoon bread is
one of the original American recipes of...
And that is a book that is awesome to get. I also just got a copy of the White House Cookbook. I think it's from 1868. I'm not positive about that year. We can put it on the web. But, oh my gosh, that is amazing to see. This cookbook is fantastic. We'll post it. But anyway...
If it's 1868, those are probably pretty boozy recipes.
Why?
Ulysses Grant's the president.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Like, wait, what happened in 1868? All right. So I think that what we should do is grill a great piece of pork, because that's what how you should be cooking this time of the year. As much as I love to talk about pork confit or braised pork, we don't need to go to all that trouble this time of the year.
So you're grilling a great piece of pork.
Yeah.
What, Berkshire pork? Or?
Berkshire hog. You can buy... There are local farms that have all kinds of amazing pork. So if you have a local farmer that you're buying your meat from, excellent. Otherwise, yeah, look for some sort of heritage breed pork from your butcher. And just season it simply. You don't have, you know, just make sure it has at least oil and salt and pepper, you know, maybe 30 minutes before. If you want to add some of your herbs from your garden, rosemary works, thyme works, a little bit of sage is pretty with pork, savory, you know, lavender would be okay if you had lavender. I would put a very, very little bit of that. I wouldn't put much.
Here's maybe an odd habit.
Cilantro.
My great grandmother, she always, before she put pork in a pan, would do the same thing, grilling a piece of pork. Always brush it with a little tiny bit of apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but I've never not done it.
Well, why not? I mean, that sounds good. Apples and pork are perfect flavor together. So
there's
nothing wrong with having a little vinegar.
And just
in
that
there.
Last second, it's just an immediate mm-hmm. tenderizer.
Right. And, you know, we use pomegranate molasses, and I've never put that on a piece of pork, but as you just said that, I could definitely see brushing the pork after you take it off the grill with a little bit of that. And that flavor profile, the pomegranate molasses with corn, would be good too. But to make the spoon bread, which the origin of spoon bread is the idea that in the South, it's typically a Charleston dish, but it's all over the South made, that you would, in the morning, they would have a buffet out and you would go help yourself if you were in a wealthy home. And you would help yourself to the spoon bread, and it was something that it was a custard, basically, so you would spoon it out of the dish, spoon bread. So you have polenta that you cook with milk or cream, and I do use cream. So for 1 quart of cream, I do 1 cup of polenta and salt and pepper from the very beginning. And I cook it for about 20 minutes. And then again, that's low heat and stirring. You have to cook the polenta first. You cannot make this from raw polenta. And then you add, for that quantity, I add 6 whole eggs and 2 yolks to the custard. And you have to do a liaison. So you whisk your 6 whole eggs and 2 yolks in a bowl. You then whisk that into half of the liquid, and then you then pour the other half of the liquid into each other. And you have to stir the whole time. You're trying to incorporate an egg into something that's hot. You don't want it to scramble, and you want it to do its job. So it's going to basically lighten the custard. And Just check for your salt and pepper, and you can add fresh corn to that. And that's what, how I would make it for this particular dish. I don't always put fresh corn in it, but again, just roasted corn off the husk. And for that quantity, I would probably put a cup of corn in and then lay it out. You can either do it in individual dishes, ramekins, or you can do a hotel hotel pan. Sorry, I can't keep...
You could use a gratin dish or
a casserole,
a big ceramic
dish.
Pie plate would be nice. If you have an outdoor supper and you're grilling those fantastic pork chops, you could lay out a pie plate with that. You know, it could be cooling while you're grilling the chops.
Yeah, it's so good.
You put that out in a tomato salad and big bowl of peaches and a couple of bottles of Chardonnay, and you've got a little summer happy time.
Sounds good. Yeah, so. Well, and just to know that is baked in a water bath.
The
spoon bread is baked in a water bath.
The dish is baked in a
water
bath.
And a low temperature, so you have to bake it at about 275 degrees. So it'll take about 45 minutes. But I think that's all the time.
It gives you time to get everything else done.
Yeah.
That is all the time we have. Thanks for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
You can contact us about the program via email, foremanwolf@wypr.org, or download a podcast of previous broadcasts or the rest of today's broadcast from the WYPR homepage. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Sunday.